here with Paul Zenon on Fringe City, second day. The Fringe is still really early on, but you're looking as slick as ever. Last time I spoke to you, Paul, was when you were bringing your story very touchingly and beautifully done in your Linking Ring show.
Oh, thank you.
Now it's the Hellfire Club?
Yeah, completely different end of the spectrum. This is me back to kind of doing the sort of thing I've been doing for kind of 30 years or so, doing the comedy magic thing, but in a slightly different slant. The Hellfire Club's kind of just a sort of themed evening all around, you know, devilish, hellish kind of look. So it's, you know, I hope we'll appeal to the sort of, you know, steampunk, rockabilly people, and to that end we've got a fantastic band called the Urban Voodoo Machine, who they're doing their kind of semi-unplugged version, marching band version. So it's kind of like this sort of New Orleans jazz funeral procession style.
It's the first time I've heard of steampunk and rockabilly in the same sentence.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the sort of music kind of covers sort of that part of the spectrum, really. It's kind of, I suppose, a bit gypsy punk as well, you know. Yeah. So, and it's just an attempt to do something that involves comedy and magic and music and a few other bits and pieces. So, well, it's, you know, I suppose loosely termed, it's a variety show, but it's a lot more rock and roll.
Yeah.
So, a complete contrast, as you say, to doing the Linking Rings thing, which was more a autobiographical thing and a historic thing. Yeah.
And you've done a lot of cabaret and magic, but did doing that show, has that brought anything new to you that you're using now, or are you just leaping over that one and carrying on?
I think in a funny sort of way, it hasn't particularly affected the way I kind of perform in cabaret or whatever, but I'm kind of working on more acting roles, more drama, and in terms of things that I go and see and appreciate myself, I'm far more interested in theatre stuff now than I used to be. You know, I was always kind of, you know, I worked the comedy circuit, I'd always go and see variety shows, circus and whatever, whereas now if I'm up in Edinburgh or for that matter at Brighton when I'm not doing my own thing, I'd kind of rather go and see a theatre piece. Yeah. You know, so and that's the sort of thing with this this show, it's trying to bring a sense of theatricality to variety, basically.
Which is interesting to hear, but also, you know, I watched you on stage in tears along with the audience in your last show. Are you breathing out a bit now?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I suppose there was a sort of catharsis there to some extent, but it's the first time I'd experienced on stage, apart from myself, the audience going from sort of laughing at the beginning to crying at the end. And, you know, in variety, crying's not something you really want to encourage in an audience.
Only maybe with laughter.
Yeah, or possibly, you know, if you're a singer and doing a kind of moving song or whatever. But that was doing the whole spectrum of emotion for both me and the audience was a really interesting experience.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to repeat with a different show, you know.
How do you get a show like this together for people, for the beginner to learn from you?
I did a version of this show probably about 10 years ago in a Spiegel tent.
So it's still early in development.
Absolutely, yeah. And it, on that particular occasion, the musical guest was Arthur Brown, as in the God of Hellfire. So, it, you know, kind of obviously fit the theme and all the rest of it. But I just kind of, I like the idea of a good old-fashioned evening in the sense that you can dress up, you know. I mean, I think we deliberately haven't used the word burlesque in there, because I think it's a bit, can be a bit tired and overdone.
Yeah, and a lot of people promise burlesque and don't deliver on it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it, you know, it's, you know, as a as a middle-aged bloke watching half a dozen girls taking the clothes off, I'm quite happy with, but I never find it particularly interesting from a theatrical point of view. So I'd like to sort of combine some of the elements of that, but with a more comedic element, and also the music side. And finding the Urban Voodoo Machine was a great step forward, because the show's going to be kind of, as I say, semi-unplugged. So it's not a kind of all whistles and bells, sound and light show. It's more, I suppose it's like Tom Waits does magic is the kind of angle on it, you know.
That's a great line. And in terms of then just where you find those acts, I mean, you're well connected anyway, but are you phoning people up? Is there an advert at the bottom of the Financial Times? You know, how do you actually end up with a full set of acts?
Well, basically, there was one particular act. I'm not going to list who's in it, because I want it to be sort of a surprise on the night. But there's one particular act that we already had lined up, a friend of mine I've been working with for years. And then I just put a thing on Facebook asking him for recommendations. And then someone came out of the blue I wasn't expecting. So we're still to finalise the lineup. There's probably one more act we're going to add to it. But mainly, it'll be, you know, the format will be fairly straightforward. It'll be probably a bit of a band action outside the tent. We'll lead people in. I'll be hosting it, introduce another act, and then the band will do a short set to close each half. But also, anybody who's using music in their performance, including me, the band will be backing them, so there'll be no recorded music in the whole show. And I think, you know, that's quite a nice sort of ethic, really, you know.
And for people who've never heard or seen rockabilly music, what's unique about that that you love?
Well, as I say, they're not technically rockabilly. They draw a rockabilly audience. They're a little bit rock and roll. The rockabilly audience is interesting because it kind of tends to be very much around the fashion and dress sense, you know, which these guys have got a particular look, which we're sort of half matching today, you know, colour scheme wise. Doesn't mean a lot in an audio interview, but it's kind of that. I suppose the closest thing would be the gypsy punk sort of feel to it, you know. So a little bit bluesy, jazzy, a little bit of attitudes. The lead guy is called Paul Ronnie Angel. In fact, we've got three people in the show called Paul, and a fourth one may also be called Paul. So the technical rehearsals could be quite interesting.
And I know you can play venues of all kinds and sizes, but there is something that Spiegel tents, you know, offer uniquely. So what is that?
It's really hard to say. I think part of it, I mean, having worked in Le Clique for years, on and off, that really works in a circus sense because the people are so close to the action. But it also speeds up the reaction of the audience being in the round because you're kind of watching the faces of the people sat directly opposite.
And they can all see each other more, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're sat in a theatre in the dark, apart from the sound, you don't really know how the rest of the audience are reacting. But when you see other people's jaws drop, it just makes for a really fast reaction. And of course, the kind of, you know, the history of it, the ghosts of the people that have played there kind of all add to that atmosphere. Not necessarily ideal for a magician, a circular venue covered in mirrors, but we cope with it. You know.
And finally, an invitation for people to come and see the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, please do. Dress up, no riffraff. 9 o'clock next Saturday, the 12th. Get there early because there'll be a bit of music outside the tent as well.
Paul Zennon, thanks very much.
Thank you.